This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. Welcome to it. The Gardening Show is on. And good morning to you, Mr. Master Gardener Bob Harris.
Oh, good morning, Igor.
All right.
Today, I want to start out talking about a story, a few stories. And the first one is the Maze of the Minotaur. And maybe a lot of you will remember, this was always told when I was in school. The Minotaur was a bullhead on a man, and it was fed seven boys and seven girls each year. Now, Theseus, an Athenian, and his father, King Aegeus, Theseus offered to go to Knossos on the island of Crete to enter the maze like labyrinth of the Minotaur, and he hoped to find the Minotaur and kill him and then find his way back out of the maze. And that would set his father's country, Athens, free from King Minos of Crete. And this is
true story, apparently.
Yes, yes. So Theseus and 13 others were put on a black ship to Crete, and they were given a party by King Minos. There, Theseus caught the eye of King Minos's daughter, Adrienne, Ariadne. She offered to help him and gave him a sword and a roll of yarn to mark his way out. So now the kind of the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey. In ancient Greece, in the myth of the Minotaur, Theseus leaves Crete to do battle with a monster Minotaur, and afraid that his son will never return, he goes out and plants trees. Because the king is an old man, people ask him, why did he bother to plant these trees, since surely he will not live long enough to see them grow to maturity. The king replies that he is planting these trees for his son Theseus, because if Theseus is killed by the Minotaur, the trees will still grow and bear fruit, symbolically continuing the life of his son. So this is the first recorded dedication of a tree planting on Earth. So I just find it very interesting, a story.
And that was, what, way back in 1971?
3,000 years ago.
Oh, okay.
3,000 years ago, yep. What another story, because I like to tell stories. I like to read stories about the Guan Tassel tree. It's in South America. Like a lot of trees, when we lost a lot of the old mammals, like the sloth and the mammoth, these trees depended on them to eat their fruit, carry them away from the mother tree, and deposit them somewhere else. Since the giant sloth and the mammoth had disappeared, The cavalry came to the rescue, in a sense. When the Spanish landed in South America, they brought horses. And lo and behold, the horses kind of liked that Guan Tassel fruit also and started to feed on it. And of course, depositing them seeds out from underneath the mother tree so they could continue to grow. And that has saved the Guan Tassel tree to up to today. A lot of trees are like that, their fruit will drop, you know, it seems odd, but will not grow underneath the mother tree because it's too shaded. So they need some kind of animal or something to take those seeds away from the mother tree out into the open to help them germinate and grow and flourish that way. So that always makes me think of the hunters. And I like the hunters. I used to be a hunter myself. When you're going out this year for deer hunting and I know that season has started already. Do your part in the forest. Don't just take from the forest. Gather up some acorns or butternuts or hickory nuts, any of those. And as you get to a clearing, throw them out there so that you'll be planting, hopefully you'll be planting the next generation of trees and giving back to the forest that you're taking advantage of. So do your part, hunters. Want another story? Or do we want to start talking about
it? There's a story from the Master Gardener.
Yeah. One of the most famous stories of all time is the Lemmings of Norway.
Oh, yes, the Lemmings.
Yeah. And there on the cliffs of Norway grows a lot of grasses and sedges and a little mammal called the lemming. And the lemming eats the grasses and sedges.
Now, I know lemmings as, you know, the tale is they all, for some reason, go off to the cliff and then they go, whee, and jump off the edge of it.
True.
And they all follow each other because they're lemmings.
Yes, that's kind of true.
But we're going to learn why.
Okay. So they start eating the grasses and sedges, and those grasses and sedges just grow back until they start breeding and the population grows to the point where there's more lemmings than the grasses and sedges can grow against. So they start eating the grasses and sedges down, not giving them enough time to grow back. Then a miracle happens. In 24 hours, all the grasses on this cliff decide to change their chemical makeup. And this is proven by science.
Wow.
To a poison, which makes the lemmings think they're starving. They can't digest their food. And so they keep hunting for new food. And, of course, eventually they'll get to the edge of the cliff. But they're so hungry, they start to fall off the cliff. And the grasses seem to sense this. The population has gone down. And within 24 hours, they change their chemical makeup again to let the lemmings start feeding on them without any ill effects so that they can support that population again.
That's insane. So the grass wants to thin out the population a little bit for self-preservation.
Yep. Yes, indeed. It's wow. Just kind of a amazing thing that nature can do. And, you know, it doesn't happen just in the grasses and sedges of Norway. It happens all over the world, mm-hmm. in a sense. And some of those reactions are just incredible. Let's say, for instance, you have a couple maple trees in your yard, and all of a sudden caterpillars land on one and start feeding on the leaves. Well, that maple, within a short period of time, will start giving off a chemical that will deter the caterpillars, make it untasteful. But also, as it's changing that chemical is turning into a gas, traveling through the air, telling the next tree that there are caterpillars in the neighborhood.
Oh, my goodness.
Get ready. Start making the chemical so they won't come over here and start feeding. So it's kind of an amazing thing. They are really communicating through the air. We know they communicate through their roots, through what we call the world wide, wood wide web.
The wood wide web.
Yeah. Hard to say for me.
Wow.
That they, through electrical messages, and it's a proven fact that they can send a message from one plant to another. I'm sick. Can you send me a certain chemical to help me heal? I'm being attacked by critters. Be aware. Can you prepare for the attack after they're done with me? And so on.
Wow.
So it's a known fact. Scientists has proven all this, but it's just amazing.
I keep thinking, like, you know, people are looking for aliens and stuff. Maybe the trees are the aliens, and because they're communicating, all the plants, you know,
yes.
they're wiser than we think.
Oh, yeah, much, much wiser. Yes, indeed.
That's so cool, though.
Enough stories for today.
All right. You want to take a short break and then get to our show and tell
portion?
Let's
do that.
All right. Thanks to our sponsor, Worth W. Smith. We'll be back in 30 seconds. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
You know it's coming. That colder weather is on the way. Make sure you're ready with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. It's not too early to start stocking up on wood pellets for your heating stove. If it's time to replace your pellet stove, see Worth Smith for their line of quality Harman stoves. You'll also find a big selection of stovepipes and other heating supplies in stock. And don't forget the antifreeze for your RV. Be prepared for the weather ahead. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. We're on Facebook Live. So, what do we have today in the studio?
Okay, I got a few shrubs here because I've talked about annuals in the beginning of the year and then perennials. I'd like to talk a little bit about shrubs. This first one next to me, and there's no order here, is called a boxwood.
Is that the one I'm smelling?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a real key feature to it. If you have trouble with deer in your yard or just want a nice, small, easy-to-control evergreen, the scent given off by the boxwood deters deer because it smells like cat urine. So this is not one you want to plant next to your front door, you know, where deer rarely come anyhow. But if you do have a problem with deer, maybe you want to consider planting the boxwood, a nice evergreen boxwood, close to those shrubs to help deter the deer from feeding on those other shrubs. They will definitely not feed on this shrub.
See, I thought I was crazy. Sometimes my nose doesn't match what other people smell.
Oh.
But I was smelling, I'm like, that kind of smells like ammonia.
Yeah, yeah, it does, yeah. Which, that's what a lot of people use is mothballs because there's ammonia in it to scatter around the yard, you know. But there can be problems with that, too. So I recommend doing it the natural way. Plant a boxwood or two to help protect your plants from the deer, from the rabbits, from any of those mammals that can feed on your trees and shrubs, from mice and so on.
How big does this get?
Let me see. I just grabbed these in a hurry.
Here, I see.
This one will grow 4 foot tall.
Oh, okay.
It likes full sun. It's not real rapid grower. You can see it's only going to grow about 3-4 inches a year, but can be pruned into nice shapes if that's what you prefer, or just let it grow. You can even take what we call cuttings of it to root a piece of the stem and make new plants so that you can multiply the amount of boxwood shrubs you have.
No kidding. You take it from the top and then you plant it and then it grows?
Yeah, got to go from the end of a branch, take a 3 or 4 inch cutting, strip most of the leaves off, leave 3 or 4 at the very top. If you can, get some rooting hormone and dip that end that you cut in that rooting hormone. That'll help initiate rooting quicker. If you don't have any rooting hormone, you can use some willow branches, break them all up, put them in a bottle of water. That'll do the same thing. Or even ivy. If you have ivy growing around, break some up, put it in water. That also has that chemical in them that'll help initiate roots to come out quicker in a plant.
Yeah, I've never heard this. So rooting hormone, do they sell that?
Yes, yeah.
And that's just what it's called?
Yeah, rooting hormone, yep.
Wow.
And there'll be a couple different kinds, really. They'll all work. There'll be rooting hormones for hardwood. That's what the boxwood is. Most shrubs are hardwoods. And there'll be rooting hormone for softwoods, like if you wanted to root some geraniums, something like that. Most of the time, myself, I'll just take the cutting, put it in a bottle of water and just kind of ignore it for a few weeks. And eventually those roots will start to develop. Then I can plant it in the ground and I have a new plant. So that's the boxwood.
And what's the lifespan of boxwood?
Oh.
Lifetime?
Lifetime, 100 years, 200 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Some of the boxwoods that George Washington planted around his home are still standing and growing.
Neat.
So, yeah. Not to us, it's forever.
Okay. Wonderful.
I'll put this one.
Yeah, we're trying to, if we wanted to like plant them every 20 years or something like that. No. They're there to stay.
And just about all trees and shrubs are going to have a forever lifespan. The next one. And I think evergreens are real important. This is a juniper. I got to look at the full name. this is Juniper chinensis Casino Gold. I don't know if you can see it, but it is green with the tips. All the new growth will be a little bit yellowish. So that's how it got its name of gold. And this one here can grow 3 foot tall, 4 foot wide.
Wow.
Evergreens are kind of like the backbone of the landscape. That's something to look at all year round. So come winter when a lot of the plants have lost all their leaves, the evergreens are still going to be green. So that's really important for your landscape, especially around your house, to have a few evergreens so you still have structure there all year round. And junipers are another one of those plants that deer don't like until they get extremely hungry to where they're starving to death. Then all bets are off. But 99% of the time, the deer will not bother a juniper. And again, junipers are like the boxwood. You can trim them into shapes or just let them grow wild. I like to let mine grow wild because they get real feathery and wispy looking, and I like that look myself. So
now you mentioned in the winter time they still give shape and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that begs the question, what about the snow? Do you need to knock the snow off of those, or
no you don't?
They're hardy enough.
Yeah.
They're strong enough to support the weight.
Yes indeed. Just about all shrubs are. There's only a few shrubs that you really need to prune to protect them against snow and ice, the rose being one. And there's a lot of varieties of roses now that you can grow very successfully here without a lot of those disease and insect problems. The knockout roses or the proven winter roses, they do require a little bit of pruning before all the snow and ice hits, because they can have long, thin stems, collects a little bit of snow, drops down to the ground, sometimes it breaks, so it's a good idea to give them a light pruning before winter.
But this, the juniper, is it?
Juniper,
yeah. This one, just it's able to get smashed by the heavy snow, and it's not a problem.
And there's a lot of different varieties of juniper, like this one here that's going to grow wider than it is tall, but there are some that just grow in a pyramidal shape or a columnar shape, straight up. So a lot of different shapes. So depending on what you want to accomplish, there'll be an evergreen juniper or other evergreens that will suit that purpose. So great shrub, the juniper there.
And it keeps the golden tips year-round?
Yes.
It's not a seasonal color.
No. They'll be brighter in the spring and summer when the new growth is occurring, then it kind of fades a little bit this time of year, but it still retains some of that yellow. Not all junipers are like that, just this particular one.
What is it, Golden Casino or something like that?
It was.
I like the marketing names of these are fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like paint colors,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Morning dew. Well,
yeah.
What color is that?
Yeah. this one here, geez, I wonder if I can...
That's a Smurfberry tree. I know what that is.
Smurfberry.
Yeah.
I got to hold it down.
it's so big.
Yeah. This one, this is called Winterberry Holly.
Oh.
This is what we call a deciduous holly. That means it's going to lose all its leaves in the winter. Most of the hollies we think about are evergreen that keep their... foliage all year round, but this one here, Winterberry, is a real easy one to grow, and it can grow quite tall. They can get up to 10 foot tall, but you can do some pruning on them to keep them shorter. And it's a good one for bird food through the winter. The cardinals just love the winterberry fruit. And so the winterberry is a great one because it produces these nice berries come fall. It produces a little white flower in early summer that's not striking, but there is a flower there. But it's mostly known for its berries. And this one here will accept. You can plant it in a dry location, or it'll grow very well in a real damp section too. Mm. And it's a good American plant, the winterberry. One thing, though, that does need, this is a female plant. Most plants are both male and female together. This particular plant is a female. You do need one male holly in order to pollinate to get berries on the females. And you only need one male for 100 females.
Lucky guy.
Yeah. So if you're going to plant some winterberry holly or any holly, remember that they are male and female, and you need at least one.
Does it say on the tag what it is? Like,
yeah.
How do you know what you're getting?
Oh, it should say on the tag here.
Okay.
This one is Red Spire Winterberry. Yep, it needs one male for 10 female berry plants. Okay, so it does tell you that it's...
So if they have berries, you know it's a female anyway.
Right, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of them will be labeled male and female also.
So the male looks identical just without the berries?
Or does it
look a little different?
Oh. It'll look identical.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Wow.
There will be one little difference. I'll put this one back here.
Yeah.
One little difference between the male and female. Wow, have I made a mess here?
yeah, you did.
Yeah. Since the male doesn't produce any fruit, it'll grow a little quicker and a little larger than the female because she's spending so much energy to produce all this nice, colorful fruit. And so just keep that in mind. You know, the male may take a little more pruning than the female.
And I'm sorry, did you say that it looks like this all year round or that just a season you get the berries?
Just a season. In the fall. And they may persist depending on how many cardinals or other birds you have.
Hell yeah.
How long these will persist through the winter.
I have a lot of blue jays, it seems.
They probably would love to feed on those berries too. You know, we all have a lot of blue jays.
Mm.
I think, yeah. But we all have... You know, if you got the right plant material, you all have a lot of nice birds. And it's...
The beautiful crows and their lovely song.
No, not the crows.
Oh, okay.
But they're all part of it anyhow. So that's three nice shrubs for landscape, whether it's right up a foundation planting, right up by your house. And last week I reminded people, please don't plant them too close to the house. Mm-hmm. At least 3 to 5 feet away from your house, all plants should be, to give them room to root, give you room to maintain your house, and they just look a little better. Sometimes even in the summer, a lot of sun hit the side of the house can generate a lot of heat and bother the plants. So by keeping them 3 to 5 feet away from the house, you stop that reaction and the plant will be much happier and grow a lot better.
So this winterberry holly is?
Yeah, winterberry holly.
Now, how tall will it get?
Three to 5 feet tall.
Okay. Just wondering if it would reach like the second story, you know.
No.
To block a window or something like that if you plant it in front of the house.
Now, it says 3 to 5 feet tall, but I have a few in my yard and they're more like 6 to 8 foot tall if I don't prune them.
Right. Okay.
Which I don't every year, but some because I'm lazy, but some years I do what I'm supposed to do.
I think you're the opposite of lazy. You have so many projects and gardening. Landscaping features.
But a great, great plant, you know, if you've had trouble with that evergreen holly, that you've always wanted, go to the winterberry. It's a much, much hardier plant, can withstand any winter we have. As a matter of fact, it's a natural plant to this area, so it's a better choice, really.
Now, we were earlier talking about the boxwood and the repellent.
Yeah.
What about this? Does this do the opposite? Do the deer like
I've never
this?
Had them feeding on mine at home. They're not known for that. They're not going to deter deer.
But they're not going to attract them.
But they're not going to attract them,
it's
yes.
Mostly just
yes.
For the birds and for the look.
Yeah, exactly.
It
yep.
Is a pretty, what is this, a tree? A tree? Shrub?
No, shrub.
A shrub.
Shrub. Yep.
Yeah, I like it.
Yep, it's an excellent shrub.
Okay. Well, we have about 2 minutes
two
left
minutes?
In the show. So oh. If you would like any of the final thoughts today or...
Oh, so... Mm-hmm. It's still a very, very good time to plant these shrubs that I've been talking about. Up until you can plant shrubs, trees, perennials this time of year, bulbs, up until the ground freezes. You still have plenty of time. As a matter of fact, some of my most successful plantings were done this time of year. Not all plants succeed, you know, for... 100 different reasons, but usually in the fall I have a lot of success when I put a new plant in the ground, and so keep that in mind if you're going to do any gardening. Now may be a good time of year to do it.
It's not too hot.
You know, it's not too hot. The ground is moist. Mm-hmm. The plant will accept, because even though a hard frost will come and all the leaves will come off, and the plant looks dead, the roots are still growing. And as long as that ground doesn't freeze 2 to 3 feet deep,
oh yeah,
those roots will continue to grow all winter long. And, of course, that'll help support that plant come spring. So don't be afraid to plant one now. Give it a good thick layer of mulch after you plant it, and you'll be successful.
Great. And when you say thick layer... Inches?
2, 3, 4 inches around in that area.
Okay.
Don't be too picky. Don't go out there and measure the depth, you know. But
okay.
Yeah. 2 to 3 to 4 inches thick.
Enough to maybe protect it from that ice right away.
Yeah, that ice right away, and it helps protect it mostly from soil temperature. This is what can damage a plant. We probably are running out of time. Okay.
We can finish what we're talking about.
It's the freeze-thaw thing that really damages a plant, not the freezing. A plant can freeze solid and survive. But if it freezes and then thaws a couple times, damages to the cells. A layer of mulch will stop that cycle. It'll freeze and stay frozen, or it won't freeze.
As fast.
So it will protect the root system. The root system, the most important part of the plant, really.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For the show and tell, I'll help you haul everything out of here. You brought quite a display today.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
I pulled in. I'm like, you brought the whole nursery with you. Holy smokes. But we'll do it again next week, shall we?
Okay.
It's the Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith on B107.5 and on demand, WESB.com. Have a great weekend.